Got excited. I missed the squeaky part of the stairs. Well, good morning. We are continuing in the series Good News, and the title of this morning's message is called Light. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to start in chapter 8 for one verse, and we're going to jump over to chapter 9. So if you want to take your scriptures and turn it there, we'll be there in just a second. But just a little background as you're looking, just to remember, chapters 7, 8, and 9 of John. As we read these three chapters, the whole narrative takes place with the backdrop of the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was one of the Jewish feasts. It was one of the few. There were some that they had to travel for, and this was one of them, that you went to the feast. It's one of the great feasts that it remembers the Israelites in the desert. And there's several things that take place during the feast, and Jesus tells those that they're teaching that if they are thirsty, they can come to him and he will drink and he will give them living water. This takes place in chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And it's always important. I know a lot of times as we read through scripture, especially if you get on one of those Bible plans that are great, it says, read John chapter 8 today and read one of the Psalms and one of this. And they're great. Do them. All right. Don't ever get me wrong. But one of the things that we miss if we're not taking notes and we're not going there, we take each chapter as it's a separate story sometimes. But the reality is, like I said, 7, 8, and 9 all go with the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it's important because some of the stuff, as you realize and as you learn what takes place in here, what the background of what Jesus is saying, it really held more authority and more power to the Jewish people. So when they heard Jesus say, I will give you living water, see, they're understanding the temple, as I mentioned last week, that the priest would go every morning and draw water in a golden pitcher from the pool of Siloam, and they would bring it and they would pour it with wine over the altar, and the water would just pour over the altar of God, where the sacrifice was made. And Jesus is coming saying, I am the living water. And I will be poured out as prophesying of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said that it will be for all flesh, that all men will receive this. And so when they mirror that with what they've seen the priests do in the temple, and because Jesus was teaching in the temple, of this ceremony, it's called the libation ceremony, of that ceremony, they get the better idea of what's going on. And as he's teaching at this point of the festival, they bring him this woman that was caught in the act of adultery, which we talked about last week. And remember, no one would condemn her. And at the end of that, Jesus says, who condemns you? And they said, no one. He says, well, neither do I. And go and sin no more. And immediately after that is where we pick up our passage this morning. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus then spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now we're going to jump over to chapter 9, but in between 8 and when we get to a 9, there's some discussion about Jesus and about him being testimony and giving testimony himself, and it's okay, I'm God. And he basically tells them, look, I am who I am. I know, and before Moses was, I am. And they're like, but you're only 50. And he says, I am. And they say, ooh, they freak out because he said he was God. They didn't like that back then. And then, so take this idea of Jesus is the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Starting in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, this is chapter 9, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you just speak truth to us this morning through your Holy Spirit. God, have me to say what I need to say this morning. Help us to hear what we need to hear and apply it as we need to apply it, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, if we jump back to chapter 7, verse 37, it tells us that Jesus went up on the last day of the festival. And so we know that as we got into last week's lesson, that at the evening Jesus went home. And so now the festival is now ending, because the encounter with the woman takes place on the next day, but Jesus is still teaching. And he picks up directly after telling her to go and sin no more. Now, as we talk about the temple and we talk about lights, if you go to the next slide, I want you to see these. These are what was in the temple. These big candelabras that stood up in the temple, and they were ignited with oil, and the flame would glow, and it shone over the whole city. They were erected and illuminated in the court of women, and the youth would pour oil into the basins for the different branches of the candelabra. They would actually take the worn-out priestly uniforms, or the undergarments made of linen, and they used those as wicks on the candles. And because the temple stood on top of the hill, these candles illuminated the city below. And one of the things it recalls for the Jewish people is the fire that the Israelites would follow in the wilderness. It's also God's Shekinah glory, that glory of God that illuminates. And this is what they followed. This is the symbolism of what would happen. This is what took place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we know about it. If you live just outside of the city and you look back toward Gainesville, especially this time of year, if there is a Gator game, what do you see coming from the city? There's a glow, is there not? You can tell it. You can see it because the stadium has a bunch of lights and it is well lit coming from that direction. You can always tell city glow anyway just from the normal ambient light. I can look at my house and I know which direction I-75 is because of the lights here in Alachua. You can see it. So imagine this. Now see, they didn't have electricity, and I think sometimes it's hard for us to remember what life was really like before we had all the technology and the comforts that we have today. But they didn't have electricity back then. Not every house had 16 lamps and a ceiling fan in it. They didn't. Most of them would have had a candle. I bet some in here probably at some point lived that way, right? Did anybody have that where it was just an oil lamp or a candle or something, maybe a gas light? Yeah? I couldn't imagine. I've done it on camping trips, briefly. And then we started camping in places that had electricity so I could plug in a power cord and I could run lamps and heaters and stuff. You learn to do that when you go camping and it winds up 27 degrees outside from Florida. It's not good. It was cold. But it was fun. But I couldn't imagine living without the light. So there's a reason when Jesus talks about things happening at dark, for them, dark was dark. All right? For us, dark's not as dark as it used to be, because there's so much other light going on, isn't there? I can't think of too many little places you can really go into like a town area and not have some kind of street lights, can you? At least shops or parking lights or traffic lights or something's glowing somewhere to give you some sort of light. And man, there's nothing like it. And we don't realize it until I remember like when the hurricanes came through a few years ago. We lost power for days. And so did most of Gainesville and the area. Boy, you talk about dark. When ain't nobody in the neighborhood got a light on, it is dark out there. And this is what they were experiencing. This is the candles that they had that would illuminate the whole city. And you could look at the temple, you could see it the whole time during the festival. But it was only during the festival. So as the festival came to an end, which is where Jesus is now preaching, they would have just extinguished the candles because it was morning. So the light had gone out. The light that represented the glory of God, the light that represented the leading presence of God to the Israelites, had been extinguished. And this is where Jesus then stands and says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, I've said it before, I want to say it again. The I am is ego ami. It's the same I am as we see in the Old Testament. So when Jesus says, I am, that meant something to the Jewish people. Moses said, who do I tell him sent me? You said, I am sent you. How would you like to be so powerful? That's your only name. Who are you? I am. All right. Yes, you are. Normally we say I am, it's followed by something, isn't it? I am Pastor Lee. I am Brother so-and-so. I am Sister so-and-so. There's always something past that. There's nothing past God. He says, I am. That's all you need to know. And they understood it. So when he says this, they fully realize what he is saying. So don't ever let anybody tell you, well, Scripture, Jesus never said in Scripture that he was God. You're reading it wrong. Because he said it right there. He said it multiple times. So one of the first points that we need to get today is that we need light to live. We need light to live. Is light important? Now, we know, because in times past, we haven't had electricity and stuff like that, so I'm not talking about electricity. We can live without that kind of light, can't we? But there's a light, if you look out the windows right now, you'll see it. We can't live without that light, can we? At first, even if we thought we could, there's stuff that grows outside that needs that light to grow. If we didn't have sun, we wouldn't have photosynthesis. That's a big word. And I'm surprised I said it right. And if photosynthesis didn't work, damn, I messed it up. We wouldn't have trees. If we didn't have trees, trees produce what? Oxygen. What do we need to live? Oxygen. What would happen? We die. See, we're already there and we just got the trees. We haven't even got the fruits and vegetables yet, have we? Light helps grass grow. What eats grass? Cows. Then we have steaks. Amen. Thank you. We need that to live, don't we? Oh, wait, we're Baptist. Then there's chickens that eat stuff, right? That's the gospel word, isn't it? We need light to live. If you turned off the sun, what's one of the first things that would happen? Well, one, first thing, it takes about 8 minutes to realize we turned it off. Anybody have one of those lights? Those fluorescent bulbs are fun, aren't they? You ever turn one of those? You turn it on, and it's like dim, and then it takes a while to warm up. And then you turn it off, and it slowly goes away. Oh, because it takes about 8 minutes for the light from the sun to get here. It'd take about 8 minutes for us to know it was gone. What's the light that we look at to also do? Well, it keeps us warm, doesn't it? You would freeze to death quickly. And there's a whole lot of things that you deal with. There's people up north that deal with what they call it, I think, seasonal affective disorder or something like that. That because the sky is like usually so gray and there's clouds and the sun doesn't come out so much because the sun's moved to the south. Was it Alaska? Was there like an hour and a half of sunshine each day right now? Or as winter gets there? Can you imagine only like an hour and a half and then it's like dim? Like barely any light all the time? When people get sad. And people get sad when it's not bright out. We know it, don't we? Yeah, about 3 or 4 rainy days, what do you... It should stop raining, right? You won't get out and do stuff. Then the sun comes out, you don't want to get out and do stuff because it got hot again. But that's a whole other story. But we need light. Light is important to us. There's a place called the Lost Sea up. I think it's up in North Georgia, Tennessee, somewhere up in there. My mom took me there one time, and it was funny because I used to have to help my mom when we go on trips because this was back when transition glasses first came out. You know, the ones you go out in the sun, they go dark, and you're supposed to go in the shade and they go light again. Well, they're a lot quicker nowadays. Back then, you transition, they would go dark pretty quick, but when you get in the darkness, it would take about an hour for them to clear up again, and my mom would be like, I can't find. So I'd have to help mom in. But we went into this place called the Lost Sea, and it's an underground cave that you go down in, and it's got a lake in there. Now, in that lake are some big doggone fish. Big fish. Why? Because ain't nothing going down there and eating them. They just grow. They eat each other. But there's no light in there except for the light that they pump in when they're doing tours. You get to get in a boat and everything. It's really cool. I mean, literally, it's cool. It's like 67 degrees down the ground. It's awesome. But you know what? The fish, every one of them, blind. Eyes just white. Why? Doesn't do them any good. They can't see nothing. It's dark. We went on a trip for our honeymoon. Not the one we had intended, but the one we could do, thanks to COVID. But we had a good time. Went to a cave up in North Georgia. Up in Dahlonega, wasn't it? Is that what town that was? Yeah. Went down there, and they put us in the cave, and they said, now, they used to work back in the old days with nothing but candles. They didn't have all the electricity and stuff or these little bulbs. Now, here's what we're going to do. If something happened, if the line went bad, here's what happened. Look back this way. They turned the lights off on you. Well, you want to talk about dark. It was dark. I mean, it was dark, dark. You could feel dark. You know what I mean? You're like, nothing. No, you know, I mean, normally, even at nighttime, you're out somewhere, you can kind of do this and see something. Nothing. I mean, it was dark. And I can imagine the eyesight. We need light to live. We need Jesus as that light to live. I mean, Jesus shines into us so much more than what the sun does, doesn't he? He illuminates so much within us. He is life. And he even says it. But have the light of life. And I love that it says, who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Has anybody ever walked in the dark? Let's face it, you get up in the middle of the night, bathroom's calling, you figure out what toes are for, so find the bed or the chair. Something. If you have to cross the whole house, you pray your kids didn't leave Legos out. Those things hurt. But you get up, you wander. And like I said, even that's not dark, dark. I mean, we still, but it takes a little bit, doesn't it? Been out in the woods. Used to go scout trips. I was a Boy Scout, believe it or not. Long time ago. Used to go camping. Every month we went camping. And man, we loved to go out and we play war games. And this is how you know you're not smart as a kid. Or you get scared when you get to be an adult. Because I didn't worry about nothing. Yeah, I had a flashlight, but if you turn on a flashlight, the enemy would find you. We'd go out and play capture the flag, right? And we'd be out in the woods. It didn't matter, swamps, bushes, whatever. You know, and I knew what lives out there. But I'd be diving in bushes, jumping other stuff. I didn't have a light. I wouldn't like go, oh, is there something on the ground? You know, I'd just jump into whatever and hide. Been out there in the dark, running through the woods one time. I jumped over a bush. It was so dark I couldn't see what was on the other side of the bush. You know what was on the other side of the bush? A tree. I ran right into it. Oh! I got captured because I was laying on the ground. That hurt. I almost got away. I've had people fall in the water out there playing games, just running through. I got it. I'm getting away. Sploosh. And you're like, whoops. Not walk in darkness. Isn't it great to have a light to shine every once in a while? It's nice to have a flashlight and turn it on and at least be able to scan the ground. I was walking out of the barn, and my wife has gotten me a headlamp, so I'm dorky now. It works great, though, because my hands are free to be able to do what I need to do. The chickens hate it, because when I look in there on them and I'm counting them, then they're like, what the fuck happened? It's a light, and they're worried about they're following the light around. But I was walking out of the field one night, I had the light, and the light is good where the light is, but around me it was dark. And I didn't know the dang cat from the house had run out there with me. And I turned around to catch his little orange and white fuzzball. And they scared me to death. But isn't it good not to walk in darkness? We have Jesus. We're not walking in darkness. That having Jesus comes, he illuminates so much in our life. He illuminates the scripture through the Holy Spirit. He illuminates truth in our lives. As we look back, all the way back into Matthew, where he talks about being the light and being that reflection of him, that we are the light to the world. We reflect him. Because of him in our lives, we're able to show others. And we've done that here on like Christmas, and you have that candlelight service where you light the one candle and it spreads out. That's always cool to see that example is how the light of God spreads around the room. And light always defeats darkness, does it not? It recedes. You'll have dark spots. But where the light is, it's light. You can't combat it. You can't put out light. We need this life. We need Jesus to be the light in our life to help us to live in this life. But we also need Jesus to live in eternity. Remember how those candelabras symbolize following God, the presence of God in the wilderness, to follow the presence that would be there. That protecting presence, remember that was the pillar of fire that came down between Israel and Egypt as the Red Sea parted. It was the defender against the enemy. One of the first things they always tell you to do in survival stuff is once you get, you try to get three things: food, shelter, water. Water is pivotal. You have to have that, or you'll die really quick. Food, you got a little bit longer. Shelter, it depends on where you are. But fire is so beneficial, because if you can get fire, then it helps with the water. Because you can boil it, because there's some water you don't want to drink. If you've got that fire, then you can cook food. Because there's a lot of food you don't want to eat raw. Most of it. You can keep warm. Animals don't like fire. Usually. So think about that pillar of fire that God, as it came down, as that protector, as that guide. This is what the presence, the light of Jesus is in our life as well. Leading us to a place with Him in eternity. Leading us on our way in this life. But then as He says that, you could preach just a whole sermon on I am the light of the world. But to prove it, to show them what He talks about, Jesus then encounters this blind person. Now, remember, Jesus did never encounter accidentally somebody. There was always a plan, was there not? And let me go ahead and give you the second point today. And these are only two points that we've got today. We need light to live, and we need light to see. How do we see? What is it that makes our eyeball work? Well, I'm not an optometrist, ophthalmologist, or eye person. But my basic understanding is light that comes into our eye is focused, is flipped, and then our brain translates all that into an image. TVs are one thing now. They have the LED TVs, and they've got the little pixels, and computer screens are the same way. It's really a bunch of little lights. Did you know that? And they all put together, and as they light up different colors, and the different colors, your brain sees it, and it makes an image. So as Jesus encounters a blind man who could not see at all, no light was going in his eyes. For whatever reason, we know that this was a man who was blind from birth. Why is that important? Well, because blind from birth usually was one of those things, and you see it in the disciples' question, that it was if you had some ailment or something from birth, it was a judgment from God. That's what they believe. They believe that this person, because he was blind, God had judged him. And that's why they ask, who sinned, him or his parents? Well, it couldn't have been him, because he was blind from birth. So they also believe there is something called generational sin, that the parents would sin and bring that sin into the family. And I think there is some reality to that. There is some stuff that we as Christians, you look back over families and stuff like that, and you can look and see that there are things that take place within our lives that, you know, those patterns are repeating themselves. Some are good. Some are not. Some are sinful patterns. That the good news is when we come to Christ, we're new creatures. That even means that it doesn't matter what our hereditary, what we were before, what we were supposed to be based on hereditary, it doesn't matter because God has changed all that and fixed it. So we can break the chains of whatever generational curse or sin that we may have in our lives through the power of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, this man, it wasn't his man or his parents, that it was so God, you would see the works of God. So as he makes this statement, he knew he was going to encounter this man. I am the light of the world. Let me talk to a man who has no light. Now, see, we all understand it. And the other part about being born blind is that one of the things that you also can think about is if you had an injury that caused the blindness, then if a miracle took place, they believe that it was easier for the miracle to happen. And two, it could be coincidence, right? Well, maybe his eyes just healed themselves. But born blind, that's not going to happen. Here's somebody who had no idea what it was to see. No idea. It's like nowadays, they've got the colorblind people. Now, I'm partially colorblind. I have a red-green deficiency. So if you ever see me with a black shirt and a blue something, it's probably because I got confused. That's why I try to keep some stuff separate. That's also why I have a family. Honey, is this the right one? But there are people that can't see any color. And they've created these glasses now that you can put them on and you can see color. Like all of them. And that's like so cool. The people get so excited. I mean, because you hear something is blue, but if you don't know what blue looks like, what is blue? Right? How do you explain to somebody who has never seen what the temple looks like? How do you explain to someone who has never seen what a tree looks like? They have no frame of reference. See, at least if you had some reference when you were explaining these things, you would understand a little bit better. But here's a guy who has never seen anything in his life. Nothing. And again, the play on while it is still day, while I'm here, but night is coming when I'm not. And what does Jesus do? Probably one of the grossest healings in the Bible, right? I don't know if he horked one or not, but somehow he spit on the ground, picked up the clay, made a mud pack, stuck it on the guy's eyes. Now, see how all this ties together? Where did this guy go wash off at? The pool of Siloam. Remember, Jesus said, I am living water based on what did the priest draw? Was water from where? The pool of Siloam. See how in one man, Jesus has now tied both of the illustrations that they've been dealing with at the temple and the Feast of the Tabernacles and shown him one thing. And he went and he washed and he came back and he could see. The light had come. The light had opened his eyes. He could see for the first time ever. I could not imagine what that must have been like. The newness of the world around you. So that's a tree. I've heard of it. I've run into him a couple of times. That's a tree. This is a dirt. That's a camel. I had no idea. So that's what you look like. The light had come. The light had come and healed his eyes. The light was now entering in him in a place where light had never been. And we're going to talk more about this guy and the rest of his story. Because this is, right now, this is a miracle. This is something Jesus has done to illustrate how light has come. And what that means, it gives sight to the blind. And all of humanity is living in the dark. All of humanity is blind to the truth of God until Jesus comes. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the light reveals who God is. Do we see it? And I think more people see the truth and the reality of Jesus than they want to admit. Most people see it, but most people do like everybody else does when there's something they see that they want to pretend they didn't see. It looks somewhere else. and they look away. But we need that light to live. We need that light to see. We need Jesus in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, we thank you that you have come. I pray that you illuminate our hearts, that you just shine your light within us, God. Show us where we might be failing, where we might be missing the mark. God, show us where we may have missed you. God, help us to see you. Give us those eyes, those spiritual eyes. Open us. Take away the blindness that keeps us from seeing your will. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts. God, I pray that just whatever it is that you would have us to do, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you or anyone online that has never received you as Lord and Savior, that they would do so today. Maybe it's just letting go of some sin, just bringing it into the light and letting your light shine. Letting that light destroy the darkness within us. God, we thank you for the life that you bring to us. Not only life here, but eternal life. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.